Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I am joined by Becca Pitts, a art ed student from here at Tennessee Tech. Becca, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how you got interested in art, how you got started, and then how you decided to become an art ed major.
Well, my interest in art definitely comes from my father. So ever since I was little, my dad has been a woodworking artist, and his studio was in the basement of our home. And so it's very hard to live with an artist and not be interested with art. So that's what I've experienced. And so every day after school, you know, coming home and smelling like fresh cut mahogany and being downstairs with him, it was always just something I wanted to be close to. And then ever since then, he got me and my sister interested. He would give us these art projects. So we'd make little figurines with model polymer clay, and we would make little wooden trucks and toys and stuff like that. So ever since I can remember, art has just been part of my life, part of the way that I've grown up. And having an artistic father, it's very easy to have inspiration moving forward and have that need to create. So that is definitely where my interest and my passion for art stems from. And then I decided late in high school that I was going to go to Tennessee Tech. I had some friends going, and I thought that I wanted to be a psychology major. But then I started my general education classes, and I'll be honest, I was a little bit uninspired, a little bit miserable, to be honest. But then I had a meeting with Jeremy Blair, and everything changed. He showed me around the art wing, Foundation Hall, and kind of showed me the potential possibilities. And he introduced to me the thought of being an art ed major, and that I could be an art teacher, or I could be so much more than that. I could also do museum curation. So once I met him, it kind of made it easy for me to choose my path as an art teacher.
That's great. I love when people just have that like aha moment of, this isn't what I want to do, but I don't know what I want to do. And then just something just clicks. Like, and I feel like that happens a lot with artists because we try to pigeonhole ourselves into something that's maybe not as creative and not art because we want the more like, this is a good job and you can make good money with this and it's steady, as opposed to pursuing something in the art world where it's a lot more uncertain, even with art education, because the funding, obviously, we know, is not always the best for those kinds of positions. So growing up, you were really involved with art, really loved it. What was some of your favorite mediums to work in?
When I was a kid, it was probably drawing. And my dad taught me how to paint a little bit with acrylic paints. I didn't really have any formal art classes till late in high school, so our school didn't really have any funding for the arts, especially early on. But when I got to college, I just assumed my medium of choice would be drawing because that's what it always had been. I wouldn't consider myself to be an excellent drawer. It's just kind of something I've done for my whole life. But then once I took a ceramics class at Tennessee Tech, I decided that ceramics was absolutely, it felt so right. And then remembering what my dad had taught me when I was younger, working with polymer clay and some, he had model clay that he would use to make wooden models for a project that he was going to upscale. And when I got into clay, it just clicked. And it was something that, it felt so right. And I felt like I had an understanding of the material right away. And so that is absolutely what I've chose to stick with for the rest of my artistic career as long as I can.
That's fantastic. And so I met you at the Cookeville Art Studio with the Art Ed Gallery Show. And your work is just amazing.
Thank you.
And I think I remember hearing someone talk about one of the pieces you had, which is huge, huge ceramic vase urn. I'm not even sure what you would call it. But you had it priced at something like $7,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl knows her worth. I was applauding you because it's so easy to undervalue yourself. But I know the amount of time that goes into that.
It did take a long time. But funny enough, part of the value is because I had my work in a show last year and somebody took a step back and knocked it off and it shattered. They ended up paying me for the price. But I thought just for like insurance purposes, because I poured my heart and soul into it, I was like, I'll just price it at $7,000, you know, just in case somebody does break it. That way, you know, at least I feel reimbursed in some way. But if somebody wanted to buy it for $7,000, I would be completely fine with that too.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Becca Pitts.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to the scene. I am talking today to Becca Pitts, a art ed major at Tech and also a very talented ceramics artist. I know you were just talking about that one big piece you had in the show. Is that kind of like where your focus is right now, is these big pieces?
It's definitely part of my focus. I think learning, once I learned how to work in a larger scale, I became captured with the idea of trying to get it not as big as possible, but definitely a lot larger than I'm usually comfortable with. So I'm currently working on a project that is 2 feet tall. It's a ceramic vessel, and I plan to plant a tree in it. And I'm going to experiment with some glazes and stuff, but I also have some pieces that are much smaller than the 2 foot piece, and I've used a technique known as section throwing. So by section throwing, I'm able to pull 2 separate pieces on the wheel and then attach them together and form one larger piece. So definitely I have a lot of fun experimenting with a much larger than usual piece. So I have a lot of fun doing that.
That sounds like it would be fun, just trying out new things. And like, this is a great time to do that, like when you're still young and like perfect for that. Where do you get inspiration as you're working or to start on something new or start a new crazy idea?
Well, most of my inspiration comes from my father. And then besides that, I would think particularly with ceramics, most of my inspiration comes from ancient Greek pottery. So if you've ever seen the red figure or the black figure amphoras or red figure and black figure pottery, they came from around 500 BC. And just the way that they were able to depict their history and their day-to-day life just on ceramics, it has always captured me. And I knew instantly once we started adding surface detail in ceramics that that was something that I wanted to try with or try to do. So I have a couple of plates that have like a spear bearer on it, and then I like to use patterns that I find in ancient Greek pottery. So I think that is one of my largest inspirations. And I also get inspirations from things I see from day to day. If I go shopping or something and I see like a bowl that I really like, I know that it would be really fun for me to try to create that myself. And then just through living, I realize maybe there are some things around my house that I would want to create. And so when I get back to the studio, I kind of start that process of kind of sketching something up, and then I throw it a couple of times. And usually as ceramic artists, it takes more than one time to get what you have in your mind. At least for me, it does anyway. So I'll throw one thing maybe 2 or 3 times until I'm really happy with it, and then work through the process of refinements. And then I'm to a place where I'm happy with what I've created.
It's one of the beautiful things about clay is you get more than one try with it.
Yes.
It's not like cutting a piece of wood where you cut it, you're done. Or like stonework where like you make one wrong chip and it's done. So that I can see how that would be really appealing. And probably like if I was going to try a 3D art medium, like that would probably be what I would have to do because I mess up things a lot and I'm just clumsy. So I know as an art ed student, you have to take like kind of a sampling of all the different mediums. Besides ceramics, was there anything that really stuck out as something you really enjoyed?
I did have a painting class, and I picked up some really interesting techniques through painting. I like painting with a palette knife rather than just a paintbrush. And I've done a few paintings like that. And I think that's my favorite technique of painting rather than just using a brush and thin paint. But I also took a glass class with Curtis Brock, and his style of teaching was so inspirational, and just glass itself is such an incredible medium. I had so much fun getting in the shop, and it was always super hot in there, and you're working with, you have to be super quick with glass. So if I could ever try, like, really dive into a second medium, I think I would have to choose glass. It was so fun.
I can see that. I've heard, I've had a couple different glass artists on the show before, and seeing what they do and hearing the process of it, I'm just like, oh my goodness, like, there's like a patience required. There's a very steady hand required. And it definitely not something I could ever do. Like, love the idea, but the execution for me would just not work out very well.
You got to have really great hand and hand to eye coordination. You got to know your stuff.
Absolutely. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Becca Pitts. You're back on the scene, and I am here today talking to Becca Pitts. Becca, so you are doing your student teaching now for your art ed. How's that been going?
It has been amazing. I'm at Cookeville High School, and when I began this process, I was very, very intimidated, and I didn't really have that much confidence in my ability as an art teacher, but now that I have been working in the classroom, getting to know the students and getting to know myself as an educator, I find that things just, they flow so easily now. And I'm able to be creative as an art teacher. I'm able to find out different different processes for them to learn. And I have a lot of fun just getting to know them and seeing their ability. And they are very inspiring. I pick up new tips and tricks from them every single day, and I learn things just through watching someone else learn. And I find that it makes me want to go out and create more just after seeing the things that they're able to do and the boundaries that they push within their own abilities. And I have so much fun just sitting and watching how they tackle each task.
That sounds amazing. What's kind of been either like your favorite part of that or the most surprising part of
it? I think my favorite part is seeing what they create when I present a lesson. So part of being a residency teacher, you create depending on your mentor teacher. I've been able to create my own lesson plans. So I come up with a lesson and I present it to the students. And I think the most exciting part is seeing all the different interpretations that they're able to create just from a short list of requirements. So I think that is absolutely my favorite part. And I think the most surprising part is I have a lot of students that don't speak a whole lot of English. And just through peer learning and seeing what everyone else is doing, and I present them with instructions in Spanish, but the creativity has almost no boundary when it comes to language barriers. So creativity always finds a way to present itself. And I think that's one of the most unexpected things that I've learned through this process so far.
I really love that because it is true. Like, art has no language because it's all up to the individual person to interpret it as they want to. What made you decide to do art ed instead of like pursuing ceramics?
I think with art ed, it's the possibilities that intrigue me. So I'm able to pursue the path of becoming an educator, and I could also turn that into becoming an educator in a non, like a less traditional way. So instead of being a K-12 teacher, I could also, perhaps be a museum curator. I could teach the public in different ways through different opportunities like that. So I think the possibilities is what draw me into being an art ed student more than a ceramic student. But there are also interests in being ceramic students. So I thought about that, but then I kind of realized I'm so deep into the art ed program and I'm having so much fun there that I thought that I would stay there instead.
That makes sense. And but it's also nice to be able to have your creative outlet that you do on the side, because like, I'm sure like, yes, because you're creating lessons, plans and things, you get to create whatever you're doing, but then you can still do stuff on your own.
And I've stuck with ceramics. I've had ceramics every single year since 2020. So I've had, or excuse me, 2021. So I even have ceramics now. I have a 1 credit hour independence. So it's like a need for me to create. So I keep up with that as well.
Oh, that's great. So you still get your studio time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. What are you working on right now? I know you said you're working on kind of experimenting with these bigger pieces, mm-hmm. but so, anything super specific?
Super specific. With the larger piece that I had, I'm experimenting with a certain type of glaze. So it's called a soda ash glaze. So you'd mix soda ash in warm water and then spray it on the piece. And I've never done that before, so I'm very excited to see. I'm going to test some pieces before I get to the big piece.
I would think so.
Yeah, I want to know what it's going to look like. But I'm very excited to test that out. And I'm also working on, I want to create kind of like a memory of me as a college student in either a plate or like a vase. So I'm going to do the same Greek style that I have been doing. And I want to kind of do a self-portrait in Greek black figure pottery. So just to kind of commemorate what I've done for the past 4 years here.
That sounds fantastic. And if people want to reach out to you or find you, how can they do that?
I have an art Instagram. It's called Rebecca Pitts Art. And that is my main mode of posting my updated art projects or anything that I have for sale. So I would definitely encourage people to check that out.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.